Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. Dr. John here, speaking to you live from undisclosed location in Pearl River, Louisiana. And we want to start on Paul's farewell tour and something I wanted to do. Paul's going back. He's going to Jerusalem, and he's stopping by a lot of different brothers and fellowships that he had been involved in and had a lot of influence in starting the church. Now, I'm looking up right here. Something I wanted to do is Paul was saved in Acts in AD 38, let's say, 35 AD. And so now we're at Acts 20, and that was 35, and Acts 20 is AD 59. 35 to 60, let's say, that's 25 years that we've been talking about in these chapters that we've taken. So Paul's ministry, so 25-year ministry he's on. And so now he's beginning his farewell tour, I call it. And just a reminder, it's been a few days. Last time in verse 19, there was an uproar in where Paul was at, and they took him before the law, and the law said, look, he's not breaking any law of ours. And so this is just something that y'all got to work out yourself. And so, again, Paul is in controversy because he's speaking out against the gods of the land. And it all goes back to Greek mythology. Zeus and Jupiter and all this other stuff that I've never been able to figure out. Supposedly the intellectuals have always quoted this. Homer and other mythology and supposedly be very intellectual and give an air of superiority when they speak. But the truth is in the Word of God. And the superiority is in the Word of God and what Paul is preaching. So, and teaching and what he had established and we're the fruit of now. So, let's get started in Acts chapter 20, verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. All right. Now, we're going to see this a lot in this chapter where he saluted them. He was very, I want to say, emotional with these folks that he was meeting and saying goodbye to. So, verse 2, and when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So Jews are still after him. Like they ain't got nothing better to do. The Jews, you know, have, when the Jews were kicked out of Rome, and because the Christians, they were trying to, the Christians were making such an upheaval in Rome, well, all over the world, Roman world, with that way, the way, which is the way of Christ. And so, in verse 4, and there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater, of Berea, and of Thessalonians, other Thessalonians, Articus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus, thus going before, tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, see, there's a accreditation of the first day of the week being the day of fellowship and of praise of the Lord's resurrection and praise of our faith. Okay, breaking bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and he continued his speech until midnight. He liked to preach. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Now, I understand there was three floors that he fell. And they figured, they said he's dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. So all night long, all night, he preached. And then when Eutychus got hurt, he went and doesn't say he says that his life was still ending, and Paul recovered him, it seems like, of course, by the power of God, and they broke bread, and he talked some more. So then he departed at daybreak. Excuse me, sneeze. And they brought, verse 12, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. And we went before to ship and sailed unto Assos, where there intended to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, okay, we took him in and came to Mytilene, verse 15. And he sailed thence and came to the next day over again Chios. And the next day we arrived in Samos and tarried at Troglodyte. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him to be in Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, okay, so he didn't want to take the time to go up to Ephesus, so he called for the elders of the church of Ephesus to come see him. Must have been a pretty good group of congregation up there. So verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Okay, so Paul's going to talk to these guys, and if there's any model of ministry for a minister, he lays it out here in his speech to the elders of Ephesus. Verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. So it's a humility of mind, an emotional ministry, that he was in, and plus the temptations and the Jews lying in wait to kill him. So this is what you can expect when you get into the ministry and the attitude and actions that you should be taking when you're in the ministry. Verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. This man was busy ministering, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to see something here. Verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God. Repentance toward God means that, let's take the Jews. The Jews, they had the word of God. But did they understand the word of God? Did they live the word of God? Did they apply the word of God? Did they believe the word of God? I mean, a lot of people go to church because it's social, for the social fibers, for social activity, not because they, for business. I mean, a lot of people go for business or see a girl or see a boy or something else like that. But this is talking about going or realizing that their life, yeah, they might know some word of God. They might know about the word of God. But do they believe it? And are they continuously repenting or rethinking their mind and believing the word of God and applying the word of God to their life as they believe? And that's for the Greeks too. The Greeks, this mythology and all of that, all the gods of the Zeus and Jupiter and Diana and all of them, Cyclops and all, whatever else they got, repentance of that, repentance toward God. And I believe God and not this mythology. I believe God instead of just going to the synagogue. I believe God. That's what repentance is, believing God, changing your thinking about God as you learn about God. And then it says here, in faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, believing that the word of God is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Believing that the word of God is Jesus Christ. The Jews have to believe that Jesus Christ is the word of God. And then the Greeks have to believe that Jesus Christ is the word of God. Jesus Christ is the creator. That Jesus Christ lives today because he resurrected. That's what Paul the Apostle did. And that's what it means to repent and have faith in Christ. Verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy goes witnesses in every city saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Okay? So he says, look, all I know is I need to go to Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit is telling me you're going to be bound, and you're going to have afflictions when you get to Jerusalem. But you're to go to Jerusalem, know what your fate is. You want that? I mean, if you're going to go, that's what's going to happen to you. The Holy Spirit didn't tell him not to go. Holy Spirit's just laying what to go and what to expect when you go. Verse 24, but none of these move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of grace of God. Verse 25, and now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Let me go over that again. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. It's a shame not to feed them. It's a shame. What I hear, what I see, and what I am exposed to, it's not food. It's junk food. There's no feeding. We're malnutritioned spiritually by the Word of God. We're not fed. Little sermons and little things like that. And I'm sorry, just because you quote scripture doesn't mean that you're feeding people. No, that don't mean squat. That's like giving somebody some ice cream or handing them a donut and say, okay, this is good for you. It's food, but it's not worth eating. It's not nutritional. It doesn't build you up, doesn't make you strong, doesn't make you think straight. And that's what there's a lot of that's going on in the churches today. That's why we're so anemic. That's why it's the latest seeing age. That's why Christians don't know squat, though they've gone to church for decades. Verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They just doubt it for themselves. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Yeah, that's why you got all these denominations. That's what he's talking about. All these denominations, you know, some church splits, and they make five the different denominations out of one church split. Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Read that again. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The word of God applied and fed to some people, fed to them, will build them up, okay? And give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Again, This is approach to the ministry. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I think a lot of ministers need to work. Not just be busybodies, making sure that they're busy. Verse 35, and I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that summarizes the walk of the Holy Spirit to give. You're more happy giving than receiving, and to work so that you can give instead of receive. Verse 36, and when he has thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. So a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that it would go forth and the people that will hear it, it will help them to understand the ministry of Paul, the ministry of a minister, and the strength and example that Paul gives us here. As he sings in Jesus' name, amen. WSM217@gmail.com. That's how you can get in touch with me.